guys. I'm a phlegmy, fabulous lady. I'm so sick, but I decided to get a little recording out, a little something out for you guys for this weekend. It is currently Friday morning. I'm actually doing quite a bit better. I think I had bronchitis, so I've been out for the count for a week, like unable to dance, unable to do anything. But I'm going to sit here for 20 minutes and deliver a juicy, hilarious story time for you guys. I'm going to take it way back to high school, and I'm going to tell the story about my very first unrequited love, my very first crush. I mean, I had crushes before this, but this was my first, like, life-altering, world-destroying crush. And there's no way in hell he'll ever listen to this. He probably has forgotten I existed. He doesn't follow me on anything. So I'm not going to be super discreet. Also, it was like over 10 years ago that all this happened. But I also am not going to use his name just for a privacy sake. So I'm going to call him Zed. But all my real ones out there, all my OGs, Hannah, Bailey, Nat, I know you guys know exactly who I'm talking about. And I know you guys will get a good chuckle out of this episode. Without further ado, let's go back to 2010, Regiopolis Notre Dame Catholic High School in Kingston, Ontario. If you want to hear more about my high school experience or me and Amanda's high school experience, we did a whole episode on it back in the day. It was a really funny episode. It's called A Letter to Our High School Selves. And that's when we really properly get into like a discussion about popularity, insecurities, all that stuff. So I won't really get into all of the ins and outs of high school today. I just really want to tell this story because I was like, I'm feeling too sick and too tired to like do research and do a proper like in-depth episode. So I just want to do a quick little funny story time to entertain the people and get them through this cold February weekend. So here we go. We're back in high school and I lived on like the far west end of town and our high school was closer to like the east end downtown. So it was like a good 40-45 minute bus ride every single day to and from school, which absolutely sucked. I don't even know why I went to this high school, like, truly. I mean, it was the only French Catholic high school in Kingston, so that is why. But it was such a long-ass commute. I hated this high school. I mean, I still have a few friends from high school, and I had a few good teachers and stuff, but for the most part, I couldn't stand it, would not go back, would not want my kids to go there. It was, like, cliquey, popularity, toxic vibes. Anyway, so this boy was on my bus. He also lived in the West End. And so both of us had a good long bus ride together, like a 35-40 minute bus ride every single day, all through high school. I mean, I think he started driving in grade 12, so I didn't see him that often in grade 12. But for the most part, over the course of 4 years, him and I developed this weird sort of abstract friendship via the bus ride because we were kind of like forced to be friends. Because what else are you going to do sitting, you know, next to each other on a bus for 40 minutes? You're going to talk. You're going to get to know each other. So, yeah, of course, I would have developed a crush on a cactus when I was 14. Like any, I just had extreme hormones and I don't even know. I think every teenager is just a little bit wild when it comes to crushes and dating. He was a man, he was tall, he was athletic, he was handsome, so therefore I was in love with him. Was he nice to me? No. Was he attentive? No. Did he care about me? No. Was I in love with him? Yes. I mean, there was more to it than that. There was a lot of psychological stuff going on, which is super interesting for me to look back on now and be like, oh, that's when my anxious attachment style kind of started. Because this was also around the exact same time that my parents were going through a messy divorce. And I was like, oh, that's when my like codependency started. That's when my like romanticized ideas of what dating should be like started. And just that perpetual disappointment that I still go through a lot as an adult. Like I was starting to really experience that for the first time as a 14 and 15 year old. So I actually didn't have a crush on him at first in grade 9. I had a crush on my locker neighbor named Thomas. Hey Thomas, if you're listening. Thomas was a perfectly fine, normal boy, but just the fact that he was in my vicinity and he was a man, I was in love with him. And there's really not much more to it than that. He spoke to me, he'd smile at me once in a while, and I was like, okay, guess he's my husband. And then he kind of lost my heart, actually, because I dropped a tampon and a pad in front of him. It fell out of my locker, and he looked down at them and then looked up at me and, like, gave me the most horrified, disgusting look, and then just kind of, like, giggled at me and walked away. And that was when I decided that there was no moving forward for us and that I had to let him go. So I just remember crying on the bus to this guy who, there's no way he's listening, but again, I'll just use the name Zed maybe to just keep him anonymous. But Zed was just like laughing at me and thought the whole thing was funny. And he was like, oh yeah, Thomas talked about that in hockey practice last night. Because all of these guys played hockey together. They were all hockey lads. They were all like the cool kids in town. They had like their little hockey troop. And, you know, in Kingston, it wasn't like you wanted to date the lead football player. You wanted to date the captain of the hockey team. Like, that was the epitome of popularity and success. So all of these girls were chasing the hockey boys around town. And I'm attracted to hockey players too. Like, I get it. I get the energy. So for some reason, I just shifted my attention onto Zed. And Zed and I would just chit chat and get to know each other and talk about life. And he would be overall quite mean to me and just like tease me and make fun of me and give me no indication whatsoever that he liked me. But every once in a while, he would be kind of flirty with me or like compliment me or open up to me about his family and get kind of vulnerable with me. And I was like, does he maybe love me? And I was so confused because he'd give me these little moments of being like a really sweet, awesome guy. And then he'd go back to being like an ignorant butthead. And I'm like, I'm so confused. And it was this hot and cold energy. And it was like, he didn't even know who he was, or he was trying to put up like this front with people. And I just wasn't sure. And then I was like, maybe I'm just romanticizing him in my head and trying to make him into someone I want him to be. Anyway, so it was a long 3 to 4 years of me just having really intense feelings and attraction to this boy and him somewhat leading me on, but also not leading me on, because he never like ever expressly told me that he liked me or had feelings for me, but he would do little things, and I'll explain. So he would always constantly ask like who I liked and who I had a crush on and who I was into. And I would always just be like, I'm not telling you. And then he'd be like, why? You have to tell me. And I'm like, why do you care? He's like, I don't. I need to know. And then he would like text me sometimes when I was at dance and be like, please tell me who you like. Like, I need to know. And I was like, no, actually, like, why do you care though? And then eventually I told him I liked him. But then my stupid dance friends, because we're all just like idiot 16-year-olds, they were like, Sarah, you can't just tell him you like him. Like, you have to like play it cool. So my idea of playing it cool was to write back. So I wrote, I like you. And then in the next line, I wrote, LOLOLOL. And then he just wrote back, K. And then we didn't speak for months. And that was kind of like the disillusionment of our friendship, to be quite honest. Like, any sort of relationship we had was pretty much over by that point. But that's jumping ahead a little bit. I think that happened in like grade 12 or grade 11. But before that, you know, he would just like want to see my dance videos, or he would make comments on like my hair and makeup, and he would just always like give me this little bit of like extra special attention and stuff. And I just was so confused, because I never really like spent that much time with a guy who wasn't like a brother or a family member or family friend. Like, we'd spend 40 minutes together almost every school day, and it was my first time really like developing any sort of bond or like camaraderie with a man who I was like sexually attracted to, who wasn't, I don't know how to explain it, but it was interesting. And I just wasn't sure how he felt or how I was supposed to feel. And then he would like ask me to hang out, and then he'd like pull away and like be like, never mind, I was kidding, and do stuff like that. And he asked me and my friend Hannah to go to a hockey game once to watch him and his friend play. And my friend Hannah was kind of seeing his friend, so we were like, cute, double date, like, love this. So I took it at face value, as I always do. I take every single thing at face value. And I went to this hockey game, and we watched, and we were like, yay, go Zed, like, woohoo, like little puck bunnies. And then he saw me afterwards when he came out of the change room, and just like looked so horrified and embarrassed that I was there. And he was like, "What are you doing here?" I was like, I didn't even know what to say. And he's like, "Okay." And like walked away, like didn't say bye, and made me feel like I made up the whole thing. And honestly, maybe I did, but I don't think I did. I'm pretty sure he was like, "Yeah, we're playing this Friday if you want to come." Like, and that was that. I was like, "Great, we have a date," like, you know. And then similar things would happen. Like, I remember him and his friend asked me, and Hannah again. Hannah was always my right-hand man through all of this chaos. They asked us to go to like a movie that weekend. And we're like, "Yay, double date." And then they were like, "Oh, just kidding. No, but for real, we should go." Like, "No, just kidding." And it was so confusing. And Hannah and I would like get our hopes up and then be let down. And then I just never knew like where I stood with him. And I remember constantly trying to build up the courage to like send him a message on Facebook, because we didn't really like text that much. Facebook was kind of the thing back then. And he wouldn't even read it. Or if he did read it, he wouldn't reply. And it was just awful. And I was, the more he rejected me or like denied me his attention, like the more obsessive I was getting. Again, like anxious attachment style was brooding within me. And I even went so far as to, oh good God, to choreograph a dance. I self-choreographed a contemporary solo number to Numb by Linkin Park. And I wore a black negligee and I had a red rose as a prop, like giving major bachelor vibes, honestly. And I just flailed around the stage with my red rose. And I, before I went on stage, I would say to myself, "This is for Zach." Shit, I just said his name. "This is for Zed." He's not listening anyway, so it's fine. And that's embarrassing, but that's also fucking adorable and so cute and so funny and so endearing. Like, I love that girl. She needs to be protected at all costs. Like, and I love that I still am that girl, even though I am a 26-year-old woman and I am a lot more wise and self-assured and confident. There is still some part of me that is like such a hopeless romantic and like puts all of my eggs in one basket and just like wants this fairy tale redemption moment. And it's just so cute how I was expressing that through dance and through writing. I remember writing poems about him and journaling about him because I was just so confused and so frustrated. And he clearly didn't want to talk about his feelings and I didn't know where he stood. And then once he like asked me to go fishing, and then I was like, "Wait, you want to go fishing?" He's like, "Sure." And then I'm like, "No," because I thought he was kidding, because he kept doing that to me where he'd like, you know, in the spirit of fishing, he would like dangle the bait in front of me and then I would take it and then he'd pull back. So I was like, "No." And then he's like, "Okay, fine. If that's how you feel. And he'd get like mad at me. And then I was like, "What?" And then I'd hear about him going on dates with other girls. And then I would be like, "Oh, he doesn't like me." And then it was just crazy. It was just all this back and forth. And a lot of it was definitely in my head. And I was definitely struggling with a lot of things. I think I was struggling a lot with my parents getting divorced and, you know, some body image stuff. And I just kept thinking, if I was just skinnier, if I was hotter, if I was prettier, if my boobs were bigger, if I was more popular, if I was more available sexually, then this guy would probably go for me. But like, he never will, because I am this like innocent girl who is just very eager and very forthright, and I'm not like playing games with him, and I'm not playing hard to get. 16-year-old Sarah cannot play hard to get, and 26-year-old Sarah cannot play hard to get. It's just not in my DNA. And I just do these wacky, embarrassing things when I have a crush on someone. And it's truly my favorite thing about myself. For example, I once, Hannah, this is for you, girly girl. I know Hannah's gonna love me telling this story. She tells everybody this story. I was walking down the hallway with Hannah towards one of our classes, and we were walking through like the open quad area, and he was walking just by himself in opposition to us, like walking, he was gonna pass us. And I think he was like, "Hey," to both of us or something. And Hannah's like, "Hey," or whatever. And I'm like, "Oh, hey." And I kick him in the leg, like karate kicked him in the back of the leg, and he like wobbled and like almost fell. And he's like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "Gotcha. That's what you deserve." And then I just walked away like shell shocked. My eyes were wide open. And Hannah was like, Sarah, what was that? And I was like, Hannah, I don't know what to tell you. Something just came over me. Something in my body told me that was the right thing to do. And it didn't feel right once it was happening. Like, I can't take it back. Like, I think I was trying to be flirty, but I also think I was like mad at him. So like maybe part of me was like getting a bit of my aggression out. Like, I have no idea, but it was truly one of the most hilarious moments of my life. And I have no shame. Like, I would do it again. In fact, I would pay so much money to be like a fly on that wall in that quad and to watch that moment play out. I would do anything to watch it play out, because I can only remember it through my like bias fractured memory. And that's the thing with him. Like, I would love to go back and replay a lot of our interactions and conversations as a fully grown, like, self-developed, healed woman who's experienced relationships and stuff now, and go back and just like observe. And I'd be so curious whether I would still feel now like he did have a crush on me, or whether I'd be like, girly, he did not like you at all. Like, you were making it all up in your head. I'm just so curious, because there was some part of me still to this day that feels like he did have a little crush on me. Like, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm a little bit delulu, like I'm a little bit delusional, but I don't think I would make up that entire 3-year thing in my head. Like, I could feel in my heart, in my loins, in my brain, that there was a chemistry between us. There was a vibe, there was an energy, there was a sexual tension between us. And I think most of the time that is somewhat mutual, unless you're like truly insane. But hey, if he's listening, you can message me and let me know. Except please be nice, because you were not always very nice to me in high school, and please don't be mean to me. And that was the thing. He just was constantly like picking on me and stuff, and I wasn't sure whether it was a flirty, like, you know how guys when they're younger sometimes show their affection to you by like being mean to you and picking on you. I thought maybe that was what was happening, and he was just like deflecting any feelings he might have in that type of way. But then he would like hang out with other girls and go on dates with other girls. So I was like, okay, I'm delusional. And then I remember going to a school dance, like a semi-formal, and I spent hours just getting so dressed up and trying to find the perfect dress. And I just wanted to look so pretty. I wanted to take his breath away. And I did look beautiful, I will say. And he nodded at me or something. He like acknowledged me briefly, and that was that. And I just spent the rest of the night watching him make out and dance with other girls and just wanted to cry all night long, yet still maintaining the staunch belief that he was secretly in love with me, just could not express it to me, could not be honest with himself. And then I remember on the bus, like the next day or something, he was like, oh, you were there? I didn't even know you were there. Cool. And then I was just felt so small and so invisible. And I was like, oh my God. So it was just torturous, truly. Like, I was acting out a little bit, I think, and like being kind of mean and sassy to him because I was just so angry at the indifference, you know? And then he took one of my good friends at the time to prom. And that was just a big blow for me, even though I literally already had another date. But just to see him ask her out to prom and all this, it was like she was living my fantasy that I'd built up for 4 years in my head. And I could see my, like, I was pretty upset. I was like visibly upset because I thought it was breaking girl code. And I could see my friends looking at me like, Sarah, you have no right to be mad. Like, this boy does not like you. And I was like, it doesn't matter. I like him. Like, I have made it abundantly clear that I am in love with this boy. And, you know, whatever, I don't care anymore. Like, I was upset at the time and I felt a little betrayed, but like, it does not matter anymore. We were in grade 12. So he went to prom with her and I went to prom with my date. And of course, all night I was just like looking for him and hoping to see him and just not living in the moment at all. And then at the end of the night, we were at like a barn party in the middle of nowhere, and he went into a tent with another girl. We're slinking off together into a tent late at night, and I knew exactly what was happening, and that was just like my breaking point. So I just, he was doing nothing wrong, don't get me wrong, but I just couldn't handle watching it anymore. Like, I'd watch this boy kiss girls, take girls out on dates, like I just couldn't do it anymore. And at this point, I had told him how I felt about him, and he, you know, didn't seem to care. So I called my dad to pick me up, and that was that. It was a pretty pathetic prom night. So yeah, and then basically we still sometimes run into each other. Like, we have similar friends and, like, kind of run in the same crowd sometimes in Kingston. I don't see him very often, but I remember the few years after high school that I would see him, I would be, like, weirdly defensive and, like, aggressive with him. Like, I'd be like, hi, or, like, flick my hair in his face and just be, like, such an annoying brat, because I truly was just so wounded and, like, so resentful of probably more so myself than him. Just like what, like how I let him waste 3 years of my life, and how I let myself fall into all of this make-believe scenario of what was going to happen and how he was. And I painted him out, I think, to be like a much better person in my head than he actually was. And I hope he's like doing well now, and I hope he's grown, and I hope he's happy. Like, I have no judgment or any malice towards the man now. Like, I have no right to say anything about his character now. But I do remember in high school and stuff, you know, some people having some not so nice things to say about him and his treatment and the way he spoke about people. He definitely kind of walked around like he had a chip on his shoulder and he had something to prove, and he didn't really care, you know, who he took down in the process. And, you know, me just wanting to be chosen and be fought for, I was like, oh, I'm different than all these other girls, but he just can't face his feelings for me. And it's like the same narrative that I still say now. Like, maybe that's true, but maybe that's not true. And like, sometimes you just have to be okay with them not being that into you and not wanting to fight for you and not wanting to choose you. And that's hard when you're 15, you know, and when you put all your eggs in one basket. And so I've learned a lot from that experience, and it is very interesting from like a psychological standpoint to go back and reflect on a lot of those experiences and a lot of those disappointments and how that has in some ways jaded me and stuck with me and made me feel sometimes like I am still like the underdog. I am still the girl who like didn't succeed, who's not popular enough, or have like, I'm not sexy enough, or I'm not influencing enough. Like, I'm just still in the background and I'm still second place, you know? And that's definitely a big insecurity I struggle with. And I think that's part of the reason that I developed an eating oh my God, guys, I don't know if you can hear the phlegm in my nose and my voice, but that's part of the reason that I like developed an eating disorder, and that I sometimes try so hard on social media and stuff, is just to like try to prove sometimes to myself, but maybe also sometimes to the people who did reject me or overlook me, you know, that I'm worth their time and I'm worth their energy and I'm worth, and that's just sad, because the reality of it is they're probably not thinking twice about me. And so I just need to continue on my healing journey of being 100% okay with who I am and my past and my present and my future without any sort of external validation from boys or jobs or money or anything like that. So, you know, I just love that girl so much. She's so precious, little baby Sarah. She's so earnest. She's so open. She's so loving and brave, like going to these hockey games and putting myself out there and telling him how I feel. Like, that's brave. And I love that about myself, even though it always ends in me getting hurt and disappointed. One day I will find a boy, or not a boy. I don't want a boy. I'll find a man who can reciprocate my feelings and my passion and my loyalty and can express it to me in a healthy way without, you know, humbling me or teasing me or poking fun at me. Like, someone who can just lift me up and appreciate me for who I am, even when I act like a total weirdo and kick them in the back of the leg. So yeah, that's that. I hope you guys enjoyed that little cute story time. I'm sure there's way more drama than that. I just honestly am a little hesitant to tell some stories because I don't know how diluted they've gotten over the course of the last 8 to 10 years. Like, I might just be fully making stuff up at this point. But certain things I remember as clear as yesterday because they're just burned in my traumatized memory. But I'm so proud of how much I've grown since then. And I want to go back and heal that girl and give her a hug and give her a kiss and just tell her that she is enough and she is worthy and that she doesn't need to settle for people who make her feel bad about herself. And hopefully I can have that same sort of impact now on the teenage girls that I teach and that I work with every week, and potentially with my own daughters one day, and hopefully help them avoid some of the unnecessary suffering that I put myself through by, I don't know, not having enough self-esteem really to be able to differentiate what was healthy and what was not, and what was real and what was not. And I think every teenager makes a fool of themselves and does cringy stuff, so I'm not too hard on myself about it. But hopefully you guys found this story entertaining, if nothing else. Perhaps you could relate to some part of it. Perhaps you did something similar, you experienced something similar. So yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a funny little story time, nothing too serious, nothing at all to do with being in your 20s, but everything that happened in high school, I swear, still permeates throughout your life in your 20s in some way, shape, or form. So feel free to follow me, message me on Instagram, TikTok. You can also subscribe to my YouTube. That would be really lovely. I'm slowly getting a few more subscribers on there, but it is not easy in this oversaturated media world we live in. So I'll check in with you guys soon with a more in-depth, well thought out episode. But in the meantime, I hope this gets you through and gives you a little bit of a laugh. And that's that. So Zed, if you're listening to this, feel free to take me out on that fishing date we never got to go on, and we can talk about old times. Just setting myself up to get rejected again 10 years later. But the difference is Sarah now will be able to handle that rejection with a whole lot more grace and indifference. And for that, I am grateful. So I love you guys. Have a good weekend, and I will talk to you soon. Enjoy your 20s. Bye.